Hi, this is David Key. At Quo, we've worked for the last 20 years with many of the world's best-known travel brands. During this unprecedented global crisis, our world of travel has changed, possibly irreversibly. This series will see us speak with many global leaders to understand how they see the future of travel. Good morning, Jonathan Worsley. Welcome to The Future of Travel. I'm here, as always, with Catherine Montien-Vicencai, our the Chief Branding Officer of Quo. Jonathan Worsley, for the few of you who don't know, is the orchestrator and conductor and the founder of many of Africa and Europe's best-known hospitality events, also the founder of The Bench, which morphed into SDR, and as many of you will know, was sold last year. Jonathan, welcome. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Great. Thank you so much, David, for having me. Thank you, Catherine.
You're welcome. Jonathan, what's going on?
Well, it has. I mean, we're heading towards a cliff edge at the moment, and so it's been a challenge for us. This was going to be our big year. We've launched new events. We've moved from restaurants, or we're in restaurants, or our global restaurant investment forum, our hotels events in Africa, Europe, and Middle East, and our aviation conferences. We've moved in now into real estate. So we've got 10 events that we've had to put on hold, and trying to figure all that out. So yeah. As they say, crisis creates creativity. So something we're having to look at now.
But it's fascinating to think about your business model and to think about the needs of the consumers, the people that want to meet, and the crisis. Where the crisis has, in most hotels, they've created a pause. For you, your business has had to pivot immediately. How have you done that? And I know you created Hospitality Tomorrow, which I was lucky enough to participate in, and I thought it was excellent. But what's the? It's been kind of a crash course in learning, I would guess.
Yeah, it really has been. You can absorb yourself in your existing business and try to figure it out and deal with the cancellation, the liabilities that you have. Or you can also put a small team together and look at the future and come together and figure out what we need to do that will resolve some of the needs that our clients currently have, which is exactly what we did. And we developed Hospitality Tomorrow within 17 days of when the UK went into lockdown.
How quickly did you realize how serious the situation was for your business?
I think we knew it was going to be pretty serious. Obviously we were seeing what was going on with other events at the time as well that were really struggling. So we started looking at platforms, and what was really interesting about this whole exercise was what other industries are doing and what we're not doing. We're very, very traditional in our approach to business, B2B I'm talking about. I'm not talking about the consumer side, but how our industry works in a very hospitable way and how we can disrupt that.
And Jonathan, obviously many of your events have now turned to online, virtual forums, conferences, whatever you want to call them. How challenging has that been to manage, to organize, to facilitate both for yourselves and for your clients?
Catherine, it's a good question. I think, we're still going through this process at the moment. So basically, I think one of our challenges at the moment is pivoting to a platform that replaces what our clients appreciated at our events. And yes, the content's important, but you can now get that through the multiple avenues of webinars that you can now have. But it's really the meetings and facilitating those meetings. So that's something that we're really focused on. So with Hospitality Tomorrow, it was more than just a webinar. And that's the difficulty, is trying to convince people that this is more than just a webinar. You know, we had breakouts. David, you were on a great session. People can come and go. They can go into, you know, card exchange, the 3-minute card exchange. You can go to the exhibition area and meet with exhibitors. So that's a real focus for us, is developing that platform.
So it's like looking at the traditional event that you used to host and trying to mirror that or somehow replicate that in the virtual world, right?
That's right. But actually, I think this is much more powerful because of the algorithms behind these tools.
And what challenges have you faced with technology and software? Have you suddenly had to become tech geeks and sort of get your head around the complications of these different platforms that you're now using?
Yes, no, it's true. They're each of them, we're trying 3 different platforms at the moment for our various events because they meet a different need for our clients. Each one has its own challenges. And I know some of these events that have taken place, which are typically webinars, have really struggled to get the tech right. And if you can't get the tech right, it's really frustrating to, you know, obviously you're given one shot, and if the system goes down, there's a lot of man hours that have been wasted.
The hotel industry, but I know obviously you're in aviation or restaurants or whichever industry it is, people need to meet. They need the serendipity. They need the business development. They need a future. They need, it's, you know, for us as a branding agency, I mean, we certainly highlight 4 or 5 conferences a year that we invest in, or sponsor or not sponsor, or whatever it is. And it's a key part. I mean, even someone, a client that we're talking to in Singapore at the moment, said, oh, I saw you 2 years ago at HICAP. And I'm like, you know, you just never know. I mean, there's so many situations where they've seen you at a conference or you bump into them at a conference, whatever it is. But surely the opportunity is, as we were sort of saying before we started recording, is to create some sort of an event that is almost like a club. I mean, whether, I don't know. I mean, something which has, where there is the social, there is the serendipity, there is the content, but it has the longevity of where you can stay for longer. You can be more involved. Does that make sense?
David, I don't think we're going to, I think going to events is still going to be very, very important. But I think it's going to be more focused, a better return on investment, because you've done the work, the lead up beforehand, using this technology, using platforms that enable connectivity. Because with the algorithms, with the ability, as these platforms get better, to connect you to people you actually want to meet, so it reduces your time, it reduces your costs, and it becomes extremely valuable. So for us, it's just a matter of educating the industry to come on board with our vision. But we'll definitely still get together. We need to do that. We're social beings. That's not going to go away.
But if you were to put a number on a percentage of how much could be digital and how much could be actually face-to-face, because there will be, I mean, this is somewhere where I think we all probably universally agree that there's a major change, and it's probably a permanent change, that there will be more digital connection or digital conferencing or whatever it is. Is it 50-50? Is it 30% in person, 70% online? How do you see that?
It's a good question. I think we can do 70% of this online, with the final 30% on site, or, you know, you're getting together for a meeting to sign the documents and move forward. So no, I think a significant amount of this can be done beforehand.
But if that's the shift, if it's now 70% online, what does that mean for an organization, a company like your own, in terms of your business model and the way you, I mean, everything about what you're doing and have done in the past?
Yeah, I think it's a hybrid. you know, it's an absolute hybrid of for our business and events. I just don't see, unless I've got it completely wrong, but I just don't see the financial directors of companies saying, oh yes, we can send 30, 40 people to a conference going forward to connect and
for a job.
And it sometimes it is a jolly, and I think that's very good for training and everything else for youngsters in the firm, but it's expensive, and I think there's more efficient ways of doing it.
And the events of the future, those physical, you know, face-to-face in-person events, what would they look like? Will they change dramatically from what we've seen before post the virus?
Yeah, I think it'll be a hybrid event. So you'll also have the ability to broadcast to a global audience as well. So I think the production will be extremely high, but it'll be smaller, low key events. I think the challenge is going to be for these big block hotels. You know, how do they reposition themselves? How are they going to use that real estate that otherwise would have been used for big events? For something else.
Yeah, we were having that conversation before. I do think this is going to be a massive challenge. And as we were saying to you before, we were talking to a significant owner yesterday, and I was asking him whether he would, you know, where he would invest. He said not in hotels, which I thought was interesting in the future. In terms of the way that the hotel industry or the hospitality industry or in tourism as a whole integrates with the rest of its of the global economy. Is that going to change now?
Well, I think this is a great opportunity to become a global company. So we're just a small business, and we can pivot really quickly. It's much easier being a small and versatile business, I think, very much like your own, where you're doing these podcasts globally now. And for our speakers, I mean, very quickly you can bring in speakers from around the world, from different sectors, which is much more difficult at a physical event. So having the likes of Jerry Inzerello the other day, who speaks so eloquently, representing Diriyah Gate, through to Minister Balala, and everybody is coming together to talk about, you know, how are they progressing and how are you progressing and what can we do together? What can we learn together? And so I find that from the industry point of view, I find that fascinating. I think what's missing is that whole institutional, the public side. How is this all going to work? How is industry going to work with these new protocols that are going to come out forward for us to be able to move forward with travel and tourism? And I think that's what's lacking at the moment. And that's what, for me, is quite interesting to hear more about, you know, how are we going to move forward with such poor global leadership at the moment, or lack of global leadership?
I think, I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that the industry as a whole, to draw on the intelligence, the entrepreneurship, the innovation, the technology, whether it's from Silicon Valley or from somewhere else, but completely outside, you know, people, I've been in conferences where they brought someone from Microsoft or brought someone as a kind of super special speaker, but there's some, I don't know whether it's an elevation, people think the hotel industry is something special. I mean, it's a wonderful industry and we all love it, but it needs to draw and be able to educate other industries as well, especially in the new economy, especially as we go forward. I wanted to ask you about the talking of an anachronism, speed dating. One of the reason why a lot of us go to these conferences. How you were talking about the algorithm, about matching people better. How's that going to work?
Well, I must say, I think on the data side, you know, the whole travel experience is something that is improving as we speak. So I'm just drawing an analogy to what's happening in the industry, to what I'm doing. And we haven't really used this data as best as we can. And I think that's general. I mean, you know, we still go to hotels and you check in and you check out and it takes forever unless you're on a, you know, on a membership loyalty scheme. And so I think this will really speed up this transformation where we're using data very efficiently for much better service as well. So, you know, you're alerted like you are with airlines, you're alerted before you arrive and you don't need to, for security reasons and everything else, check in like we did before. But I also think with conferences as well, that the data side and the algorithms behind it are really powerful, that will enable that connectivity to help you move forward with your business and be much more efficient. So that's my premise.
Do you think that, well, in Europe or probably in Asia and in America, there's everyone's at slightly different levels of integration with technology. In Africa or in perhaps in the Middle East, where you've also predominated and really led the way in terms of investment forums and development forums, how will the new technology be adopted?
Well, I don't think we have a choice. I think the industry needs to move forward with this latest technology for protocols, for hygiene, for security. So, you know, I think everybody's moving forward with it because they have to. You know, the industry's met their Kodak moment, and we're having to jump over this pretty quickly. But Africa will. I mean, we're replacing our Africa event later this year with Africa Tomorrow. So it sort of follows the whole branding of Hospitality Tomorrow. We'll do Africa Tomorrow. We're doing Real Estate Tomorrow. We're going to do Sustainability Tomorrow, which is great. We've been looking at sustainability for a long time. But does it really make sense for us to claim that we're all about sustainability when we're sending everybody on flights to attend an event? And that doesn't make sense. But of course, now, let's do it virtually and bring the industry together to learn about, you know, what we can do best to help move forward the industry on a sustainable platform.
And jumping on that answer, Jonathan, how do you see the industry as a whole changing post this crisis? Do you think things like sustainability will become a bigger priority, or other elements to do with meaning and where we interact with locales and destinations? Will that change from a consumer or from a business perspective?
I can only hope. I know you often ask these questions on your to your other guests, and some aren't believers yet. I think we all need to believe and hope that we won't go back to our old ways. I mean, the day of over tourism, I hope destinations, you know, will manage that better and showcase the sustainable side of tourism. So I think this gives us a great opportunity to do exactly that. And there's some great tools and technologies out there and individuals that are leading the way on this. So yeah, let's hope that this is the new norm. And you know, I think we've seen, what have we seen? April this year, 17-18% reduction in CO2 emissions versus last year. You know, the skies are cleaner, you know, the nature is better at the moment. Is that going to be representative of, you know, how the way people think going forward? It's a difficult one. On the other hand, you've got America that's relaxing its environmental regulations. You've got China that's building these coal-fired factories at a rate of knots at the moment. So, you know, it doesn't seem to me that, you know, the governments are yet pushing forward with this agenda at all. Outside of, you know, Europe or whatever.
I couldn't agree with you more. But when we're, as you've heard on these interviews, when we're talking about sustainability, we're talking about mindfulness as well, and we're talking about a greater subject than simply the environment itself. And given that the hotel industry will contract, I don't think there's any doubt about that in terms of labor. People, you know, talking in these kind of terrifying numbers of how many people will lose their jobs. How much do you think the owners and the people that you're speaking to will actually be able to adapt? And how much, you know, how much do you think that they're, how much fallout do you actually think there'll be?
I don't know. I think the I think it's going to be led by destinations. Obviously, we all talk about domestic tourism to begin with. I mean, you know, Northern Europe should do reasonably well if they can get their hotels up and running again, because of we're an export, you know, industry, and there should be a surplus of domestic tourism in the UK, and in Germany and Scandinavia and the likes. And I think the I think those destinations that promote their local sustainable or their social impact and their you know, I think the likes of Mantis in Africa do an amazing job at you know, working with the locals, working with the industry to protect wildlife. I think that's going to be increasingly important. I think the likes of Sri Lanka, let's hope that they can really, you know, move forward with their agenda to as a safe destination, as a, you know, one that's working with the natural environment. You know, I think these economies, I think these destinations are going to prosper in the future, where they're focusing on their natural environment.
Yeah, I must say I agree with you. And I think that, I think unfortunately it would be kind of Darwinian. I mean, the strongest will survive. And I sense that unfortunately from everyone we're speaking to, that there will be attrition. There will be perhaps even more dramatic change than any of us are yet envisaging. You've had to pivot, you've had to change. And I think on behalf of all of us who are regular attendees of your conferences, we're very grateful to you for providing a forum and the Hospitality Tomorrow Forum, which I must say, I mean, without trying to blow smoke, I mean, I thought it was truly excellent. It was very, very well put together under very, obviously, very, very difficult circumstances. Jonathan, thank you so much for spending time with us. Thank you for being on The Future of Travel. And we only wish you only the best and look forward to seeing you, not just online, but at a conference very soon somewhere.
You know, I very much look forward to that. And rather than a virtual glass of champagne with you, David and Catherine, I look forward to that real glass of champagne with you both.
Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.